The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
So basically the shiur deals with the sugyas of the weekly parsha, or Inyon HaDiyoyimim. And usually Inyon HaDiyoyimim means Moyadim, Zmanim. Last week we had a shiur on Hanukkah. But today I decided to dedicate the shiur to a different type of Inyon HaDiyoyimah, COVID-19. And I feel I need to address the question that the entire Torah world is dealing with, and not only the Torah world, but the world. And that is the COVID vaccine. Since the beginning of this pandemic, I feel a responsibility and an obligation to express what I believe in, even though sometimes it's not very comfortable, because I know that not everybody will like what I say. However, I always express myself in a respectful manner. I have no reason in the world, and I don't like to argue and to dispute and to be mezalzel in others. But if I won't speak my mind, I think it would be a sin. It would be an avera. And I do think that people in a position like me have a chiyuv to say what they believe in. And if I will be zeicher to save one person, or more than one person, yehi ze schori. Chazal say, Kol ha-makayim nefesh achas misol ki yu kiyem oylem molei. So if what I say will save one person, one family from tragedy and from sorrow and from mourning, that's doiris. Those are generations. So as inconvenient as it might be, I do feel that it is my chiyuv to clearly say what I believe in. I'm not a spokesman of Misrad HaBriyot. I wasn't asked to be a spokesman of Misrad HaBriyot. I'm a spokesman of the Shulchan Aruch. Ner leraglai. And the only guiding light I have is Halacha and Torah. I do consult specialists. Otherwise, my words would be lacking. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a researcher. But I do possess some basic intelligence, at least to understand what I read and to understand what is explained to me. And I am in touch with top specialists, scientists and researchers and doctors in Eretz Yisrael and abroad. So let me clearly address this question. And like I've done since the outbreak of this pandemic, I don't just say what I think. Whatever I say is based on sources from Chazal, Gedolei HaPoskim, and today we will analyze the sugya of vaccines. Dealing with the sugya of vaccines, we need to start with a more fundamental and basic sugya of Sakana. So in Brochas Lamed Beis, the famous story, Ma'aseh v'chosadecho tshayoimed v'tfilah, and a very important dignitary, a minister, passes by and he greets him, and the chosad does not respond. And that sar, that minister, patiently waits. And when the chosad ends davening, he says, if I would cut your head off, if I would cut you to pieces, nobody would care. And it is in your Torah that we learn. So the chosad responded. I spoke about this many times in the past few months. I just want to touch upon the fundamental sugyas, because I really want to speak about vaccines in halacha. But this is the very first and most fundamental source. The Marsha says, the chosid made a mistake when that non-Jewish Gentile minister was an Amoritz, and he made a mistake when he quoted those psukim. Those psukim deal with ruchnius, with spirituality. Your eyes have seen the splendor of Mamed Har Sinai. It has nothing to do with steering away from Sakana. However, the Rambam, both in Sefer HaMitzvos and in Mishneh Torah, in Hilchos Tzeach, the Rambam quotes these very same psukim as the source, that we need to prevent and avoid danger. Prevent and avoid, two different concepts. We need to steer clear from danger. And those halachos are primarily in Yoredei Akuf Tot Zayin. We need to prevent the danger. And those halachos are in Choshe Mishpat Tov Chav Zayin. My dear friends, whenever we learn Shulchan Aruch, it is always recommended to start with the Torah and the Bais Yosef, but not Simen Tov Chav Zayin and Choshe Mishpat. It is the only Simen in Dalet Chelke Shulchan Aruch which we do not find Torah and Bais Yosef. The Torah finished Dalet Chelke Shulchan Aruch Tov Chav Vav. And the Shulchan Aruch decided to add on one more siman, and that is Tav Chav Zayin. The only siman we find in the Shulchan Aruch, which there is no equivalent, there is no basis in the Tur. However, some of the malachas in Tav Chav Zayin and Shulchan Aruch are in Beis Yosef and Tav Chav Vav. So on Yoredei we learn the halachas of Gilui and other halachas that are Sheval Taisa. Stay clear from danger. Don't eat this, don't drink that. Don't stand under a wall that seems to be falling down. Those are dinam of Sheval Taisa. Choshe Mishpat Tov Chav Zayin is the mitzvah of Makkah. You need to initiate. You need to be active in preventing danger, not only passive in avoiding danger. You need to build a Makkah. So it is from this halacha that we learn you need to initiate, you need in an active fashion, and not only a passive fashion, b'kum v'asei, and not only b'sheva v'al taisa. In my svarim Sha'aras HaTshuvos Minchas Shoshah, Chelek Aleph, Chelek Beis, in the section dedicated to halacha v'refuah, so the Minchas Shoshah, like many svarim, is split into Or HaChaim, Yerodei, Avinez, Choshe Mishpat, but in every volume there's a special section, halacha v'refuah. And there's also an English sefer on medicine and ethics in halacha. And I dealt at great length in the fundamental question, is a person obligated to expose himself to minimal danger to save others from a greater danger? Or is a person required to expose himself now to a minimal danger to save himself from a greater danger in the future? So question number one is primarily relevant by kidney donations. And this has become a trend in our society, a trend that I am extremely moved by and proud of. The Frum community is number one in the world, in the entire world, and I say this with all responsibility, in live kidney donors. I wrote in my tshuvas, and I explained this to hundreds of people that turned to me, should we donate kidneys? It's not a chiyuv, but it's the greatest mesiras nefesh I could imagine. It is the greatest chesed I could imagine. Giving a kidney is more than giving $10 million. You're giving of yourself. You're giving an organ. You're giving of your life and blood to save another person. And I know so many people, probably more than 100, that donated kidneys, not to save family members, to save people they don't even know. And I am so moved and so proud. So this touches upon the question, is a person entitled to put himself into danger to save another? So the source of this sugya is a Yerushalmi Sof Perek Ches Masechet Trumas. Resh Lakish endangered his life to save Rav Amy that was taken into custody by the bandits, by the cannibals in the middle of the forest, in the middle of the jungle. And Hagos Mamonius wants to prove from there that a person is demanded, is required to put his life in a minimal danger to save another person whose life is in greater jeopardy. However, the Sma, Simen Tov Chavav writes, why doesn't the Bais Yosef write this in Shulchan Aruch? It's only in the Bais Yosef. So the Sma concludes, it's not halacha. It is rejected from halacha. In Minchas Shoshah, based primarily on various tshuvas of the Radbaz, my conclusion was, if the danger you are exposing yourself to is extremely minimal, the Radbaz writes, Korov l'chayva. If it's substantial, it might even be a prohibition. It's very hard to quantify these halachas in numbers, as I made clear in my tshuvas. But the question is twofold. Are you required to put yourself today in minimal danger to prevent a far greater danger to yourself at some coming time? That's one question. Are you required to put yourself in minimal danger to save others from a greater danger? So, and along this is such a fascinating sugya. I just want to point out a similar dilemma in both counts in Issa v'Heter. Shabbos, Dalet Omed Aleph, Erev and Lamed Beis Omed Aleph. Many poskim deal with what seems to be a stira, a contradiction between two sugyas. V'chi oimrem la'odem chatei kedei sheyizkeh chavercho. Is one required to be over on an Isser Kal to salvage an other Jew from an Isser Chomer? But a Menoches Mem Ches Omed Aleph, there's an equivalent sugya. V'chi oimrem la'odem chatei kedei sheyizkeh hu atzmo. So that is a sugya that primarily is relevant in Seyda Kodshim. And I quote the source, Menoches Mem Ches Omed Aleph. I won't go into details. What I just want to point out is, in Issa v'Heter we have the same dilemma. Are you required to be over on an Isser Kal now to prevent the need to be over on an Isser Chomer tomorrow? Are you required to be over on an Isser Kal to prevent an other Jew from an Isser Chomer? The same chakira is relevant in Sakona. Am I required to put my life in a minimal danger today to prevent a greater danger tomorrow to myself? Am I required to put my life on the line and a certain minimal risk to save others whose life might be in a far greater risk? So that is one sugya we could deal with regarding the sugya, the dilemma we are discussing today. However, there might be a difference between saving another person, like kidney donations, or the story in Yerushalmi about Rish Lakish that puts his life in danger to save Rav Amy. When we're dealing with vaccination, it is not Ploini or Almoini. It is society. It is the many. So what degree does a person need to put himself in danger to salvage or prevent many others from getting infected? So whatever I mentioned up to this point is based on the assumption that when you take a vaccine, you are putting yourself in danger. However, a remote danger. I don't think that's the case, but we'll get into details regarding the vaccine a few minutes later in our shiur. I just want to build what the question would be and what are the relevant sugyas. So we started off with the question, first of all, the fundamental assumption. That yes, we are required to prevent and avoid sakana, passively and actively, b'shev al taisa and kum v'asei. Are we required to put ourselves in sakana to save another person from a greater sakana, to save yourself from a greater sakana? But that is one-on-one. An Isser Kal to prevent an Isser Chomer from a given person, putting my life in minimal risk, to save another person from a greater risk. When we're dealing with a public sakana, might be different. And therefore we move on to a different sugya in the Dorim Daf Pei Omud Beis. And that's a sugya which almost none of the poskim discuss. And it's perplexing. Why? What are we dealing with there? Everybody remembers the Gemara Bav Metzia Samech Beis. Ben Petura and Rabbi Kiva, Shnayim Halcha Mederach, V'yesh B'neim Kitten Shalmayim. Chayecho Koidim Alachaycha Evecho. That same rule applies to the many, not only to the few, to the community, to the tzibur, not only to the individual. And therefore, two cities, one next to the other, One city has enough water and the other, there's a drought. They don't have drinking water. The city that has water is entitled to keep the water to itself. You need to care for your teshuvim, your residents. Don't put your life in jeopardy to save another city. And here we're not dealing with one and one. It's not like shnayim halacham ederach v'yesh b'neim kiton shalamayim. Shnei orim v'yesh b'neim kitonot shalamayim. But then down comes the fascinating line. One city has enough drinking water and also water to do laundry for other hygienic purposes. And the other city has no drinking water. And that's a machlokes Rabbi Yosi v'chachamim. Rabbi Yosi says they do not have to share their water with the others, even though they have ample water. They not only have enough water to drink, they also have enough water to cleanse themselves. You do not have to give away that water. The Chachamim says you do. So Masechet Nedorim, we have very few Rishonim, unlike other Masechtas and Moed Noshim Nezikim. But what is amazing is that Rambam doesn't bring this halacha. And that is very uncommon. All the halachas in Shas are brought in Rambam, except this one, that Rambam doesn't paskan. Halachik echarun or halachik Rabbi Yosi. And if it's not in the Rambam, it's not in the Torah, it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. This is a perfect example of the principle, Divrei Torah, Aniyim b'mukam echad v'ashirim b'mukam achar. Look it up. Evan Ezet Simen Pei Sif Yud Beis, Beis Shmuel Sif Kotin Tezvav. He wants to prove from that halacha, halacha k'Rav Yosi, that one city does not have to give away its extra water that is designated for laundry, for cleaning, to another city. None of the Rishonim explained this machlaikas. Neither did the Beis Shmuel. So in my tshuvas, I brought two different interpretations, Beis Ephraim and Beis Shlaima. Great Achroinim. And I wrote interpretation number 3, which is the Mincha Sosho. I will not quench your curiosity. I will not go into details to explain the sugya. Maybe at another opportunity, the Korav Biyomenu, or I'll send it to you in writing. But it is not exactly our topic. So I just wanted to share at the outset of this year fascinating sugyas that might be relevant, might not be relevant. Another one is Choyle Befoneinu. Many times I wrote, and I also spoke about, Noide B'Yudah Madurat En Yonah Radeh Esim Mereish Yud, Chasam Soif Yoradeh Shin Lamed Vav. Doing autopsies, Nivula Meis, to advance medical research. Both the Noi Dibudach Sam Seifer said, there is no din of Pikuach Nefesh kishein choyle befoneinu. Maybe in the future, we will be able to save lives by advancing medical research. That is not reason enough to be over even in Issa Darabonon. Would we say, you have no right, be a dayim, actively putting yourself in danger, even remote danger, to prevent danger in the future? The future is not here. The future is future. And there is no din of pikuach nefesh in the future. Comes along the Chazanish Yoredei Simen Reish Ches. And the Chazanish is so convincing. And he says, doesn't really depend on Choyle Befoneinu. It depends on reasonability. How reasonable is it to assume that the Aveda you're doing now, Nivula Meis or any other Aveda, will directly lead to Atzolus Nefoshes? Medical research is too far off. Sometimes we think we're on the right track, and after years we see, no, it's a dead end. It's going nowhere. So the Chazon Ish argues, it all depends on reasonability. A few months ago, I wrote a tshuva to a precious person, a Shoyim Toyev HaMitzvos, was one of a team working on developing the vaccine, and he asked me, could he work on Shabbos because they're really in pressure. And I contemplated, but I did not give a heta. Is that because ein choyle befoneinu, according to the Chazon Ish? The feeling all along was that we will achieve this vaccine. The questions were how effective it will be, Will there be any substantial risks? How much time it'll take till we get this vaccine? So according to the Chazon Ish, it would be as if chole befoneinu. But nevertheless, I didn't give a heter because it was hard to assume that you, Reb Pliny Ben Pliny, if you're not going to work in Shabbos, this vaccine will be postponed. Hundreds, thousands of the most brilliant minds were working on this vaccine. Many companies in many countries. So I found it very unreasonable to justify Chilul Shabbos in the development of the vaccine. So I wrote to this precious person, well, your friends working on this vaccine, will they never take a break? Will they never spend time with their family? You know, probably, even though they're devoted and dedicated, but people need to breathe. They need to have some time for themselves. So put in another hour every day and keep Shabbos. However, regarding our question, we're not speaking now about developing the vaccine, but taking the vaccine, eliminating, preventing infection of COVID is chole befoneinu. It's not some futuristic chashash of machala. COVID is everywhere. Corona is everywhere. And every day people are getting affected. Everywhere people are dying. So this is chole befoneinu. So that would not be an argument at all that you don't put anyone in danger now to salvage people in the future. It's not the future. It's here. So we could base our discussion on various different sugyas. And I know there's always room for argument that our pandemic is not the same as the ones we had in the past. The vaccine is not necessarily the same as other vaccines, and that's true. Let's deal with the question of vaccination instead of dealing with fundamental sugyas. Yerushalmi perek ches trumes, Bavli nedorim pei omud beis, noide biyuden Chazon Ish chole befaneinu. Gedolei Yisrael dealt with the question of vaccines and how do we balance the danger of a vaccine against the danger of contagion, of a disease, of a pandemic. This discussion started almost 250 years ago. Tov Kuf Mem Dalet, Tov Kuf Mem Hei. Edward Jenner, an English doctor, developed the first known vaccine against smallpox, Ababuot Shchurot. And that vaccine saved hundreds of thousands, millions. That the Tiferes Yisrael, Rabbi Saul Lipschitz, who was one of the Gedolei Yisrael in that era, in that time, writes in Ovois, he has this, one of the most important Pirushim commentaries on Mishnayos, Ovois Peregimel, on the Mishnah Chovavodim Shenivra B'Tselem, he writes, Hachosi Yener, referring to Jenner, Edward Jenner, beyond doubt, is one of the Chassidu Umis Oilam, and he will have Schal Oilam Abba. And he quotes his name together with some other non-Jews. But he doesn't deal with the question, do we take the vaccine or not? He does deal with this question, but not on Perek Gimel Avos, Perek Ches Masechet Yoma. And the Tiferes Yisrael writes, we know that some people have died as a result of taking the vaccine. But nevertheless, without the vaccine, many more will die. And therefore, my opinion is one should take the vaccine. And that is knowing that it might cause the demise of some people. But we need to weigh benefit against risk. And the benefit outweighs the risk. Because if we don't take the vaccine, many, many more will die. And therefore, we should take the vaccine. In that very same period, Reb Avrom Hamburg, who was a Rav in Haag, Holland, the Netherlands, and then in London, he lost two children to smallpox. And he wrote a kuntres named Alim Litrufo, dealing with this halachic issue. And he writes that the Rabbonim defer and they disagree. Some feel we should take the vaccine, and others feel no, because it's dangerous, because people are dying from the vaccine. And he compiled letters from various different Rabbonim of his time with a positive response. We should take the vaccine. Rav Avraham Hamburg was not a known Gadol B'Yisrael, and neither are the other Rabbonim that took part in his endeavor in the Sefer Alam L'Trufo. The Teferes Yisrael, one of the great Perushim HaMishnayis, and he wrote many magnificent Sforim, called Kol HaShabbos, Choymeh B'Kodesh, his introduction to Hilchos Shabbos, his introduction to Kodshim. He was truly a Gadol B'Yisrael, but he was not one of the known Poiskim. And therefore, I think the most important source is Zera Emes. Shalas Etshuva Zera Emes, Chelik Beis Simen Lamed Beis. Who was the Zera Emes? Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. Not really Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol that we know from Shas. But his name was Rabbi Shmuel HaKohen. And I call him Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol because he really was one of the Gedolei Yisrael. One of the Italian Gedolim in a Sfardische world. Shalas Etshuva Zera Emes, Chelik Beis Simen Lamed Beis. He has a correspondence with one of the Chachomim of his age, Rabbi Huda Chaim Giron. And there are two different letters. So Rav Giron turns to the Zera Emes with his dilemma, and he writes, there's a new vaccine, obviously dealing with smallpox, Edward Jenner's vaccine. And he writes, I don't know what to say, because we know that some people die as a result of the vaccine. So, is it justified that a person puts his life in jeopardy, right here and now, to prevent sakana, which might never come? I doubt it's muta. The Zera Emes writes a lengthy tshuva, and that is why it's important, because unlike the Teferes Yisrael, who just gives us a conclusion, he deals with this at length, quoting different sugyas. And the beginning of the tshuva, he cements or solidifies the feeling of the shoyel, of Rav Chaim Yehuda Giron. And he says, what would the heter be? Why would it be justified to put yourself in danger, be a dayim, to prevent danger that might never come? However, in the second part of the tshuva, he writes, it all depends on numbers. And because without the vaccine, many, many more will perish, one should take the vaccine, knowing that he might be putting his life in jeopardy. Rav Giron Chozar Vishal writes again to the Zera Emes, and he says, Ani miyirei hayroa, I am afraid to paskin. And therefore, I just avoided. I didn't respond. I didn't want to say yes. I didn't want to say no. Hitchamakti. Did I do right? Surprisingly, the Zera Emes does not retract. He doesn't regret what he wrote in this first tshuva, but he does say, after all, it's a question. And it's a legitimate question. So if a Rav is afraid to take this awesome responsibility upon himself in Dina Nefoshes, he definitely has the right to not to respond. Sheval Tasa Odev. So what is clear from the Zera Emes? His fundamental opinion is one should take the vaccine, but he is not firm enough in his opinion to say, you need to say this in public. That was in their day and age when, according to what we read, I don't know whether this also appears in non-Jewish sources, but judging by the Teferes Yisrael, Alam Letrufo, Zera Emes, three early sources, this vaccine caused death. Not many cases, it was remote, but some people died as a result of taking the vaccine. Va'afal piken, the opinion of the Gedolim was, one should vaccinate. Years later, we find in Zivchei Tzedek, Yoredei Kuf Tet Zayin. Who was the Zivchei Tzedek? Rabbi Abdallah Somech, also one of the great Gedolim, Sephardi Gedolim. And he writes, that was in the time of the Zera Emes. He quotes the Zera Emes, and he writes, but today, doctors further developed the vaccines, and we give this vaccine, and no one was ever hurt. And therefore, he is more firm in his opinion. One should vaccinate. his Talmud was the Kaf HaChaim. One generation later, every Lamed and every Baal Halacha appreciates the Kaf HaChaim. It's like the Sephardi Mishneh Berurah, however, with far more Kabbalah. Because the Yankov Chaim Sofer, the Kaf HaChaim, was also a great Mekubal. And the Kaf HaChaim Kuf Tet Zayin, Yoredei Asif Koten Samach writes, today we further perfected this vaccine, and it is a shot given to the upper arm of children. He describes, he seems to be amazed about how they give this vaccine. It's not an oral vaccine, he says. You use a needle, and you insert the needle in the upper arm of the children, and it works wonders, writes the Kaf HaChaim. So the Zivchat Tzedek Kaf HaChaim says, you should take this vaccine. So I am not deaf and I'm not blind, and I know so many people in circles at Rambanim in our society have all these theories that it's awful and vaccines kill people. And once again, I don't like to argue with anyone, and I have no reason to argue, but I must say my opinion. Recently I gave a shiur. It is clear as daylight that in Halacha we rely on scientific and medical data available in each day and age. And it is not only in Pikuach Nefesh, in many areas of Halacha. If we wouldn't rely on non-Jewish information, secular information, scientific information, we need to tear out 50% of the Shulchan Aruch. In many areas which most of us listening to me wouldn't even imagine. But Chachmei Yisrael are supposed to learn Torah. They're not supposed to learn biology and chemistry and physics. So how would they know how to degree in various different areas of Halacha if they wouldn't rely on responsible, authoritative, scientific, and medical information? So this assumption is most known, most famous, and most commonly known from Dinam of Pikuach Nefesh, where Machal HaShabbos to save a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakonash, or the Chaim Semeshin Chof Ches. We eat in Yom Kippur to save a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakona, Tov Fresh Yud Ches and Hilchos Yom Kippurim. And how would Rabbonim know whether he's a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakona if we wouldn't rely on doctors? So we do rely on doctors. Where is the fundamental source? Shuvas Chasam Sovi Yoredei Asimenai and Ches. That's amazing. Shabbos Pehei. And recently I gave a shiur about this. Eile bnei seyer achoyri yoishvei ha'oretz. Shabbos Pehei, the Gemara asks, ota kuliyal me yoishvei rokiya ninhu. What is the pasuk say, yoishvei oretz? And other people live in the heavens, they live in the sky. Every human being is Yoshev Ba'oretz. Elo shoyu b'kiyun b'yeshuvo shel Eretz. They were mumchim in agriculture. So when Chachomim came to decide and to determine dinam of kil'ayim, kil'ei zeroyim,
Kol Halashon,
whether it's gefen or zeroyim, Chachomim consulted b'nei seir ha'choyri, Shayu Bekim Bishuv Shalas. And Chachomim relied on their expertise to know how far is the anika of a vegetable, of a tree. How much do we need to separate one type from the other, one species from the other? We should be Oyvan Kalayim. So Chachomim relied on the expertise of non-Jewish mumchim. That's not Pikuach Nefesh. That's Kil'ei Zeroyim. Hilchas Neda. It's a Gemara Nidachov Beis Omid Beis. Ishu Achas Shapila Kamin Klipin Adumim. Ishu Acheres, Epila Kamin Saras Adumois. Rabbi Loza Bereb Tzodek testifies, Shalu was Abba. Abba Shola Chachomim, Vachachomim Shalu Lerovim. And the doctor said, Maka Yesh B'me'eo. Shume Yesh B'me'eo. Hetilu Lepoishrim. Im Nimoyach Areiz Adam. Tmeo. Im Loi Nimoyach Areizu Tohoiro. So yes, the Tana asked Chachomim, and Chachomim consulted doctors in Hilchos Neder. So this Gemara is a matter of discussion. Some achrayim say this proves that we rely on doctors in Hilchos Neder. Others say no, it proves we don't rely on doctors. Because after the doctor said, this woman has a makah, this woman has a shumah, she has a tumor, she has a wound, Chachamim didn't rely on the doctors, and they checked, hitilu lepoishim. Other achrayim say no, that was part of the doctor's advice. The doctor said, probably she has a makah, probably she has a growth, but we could check it out, tatilu lepoishim. So what's Pshat in the Gemara? I brought a raifa in Yerushalmi that was not part of the doctor's advice. Because the very same story as we find in Bavli, Chov, Beis, Amet, Beis, in Yerushalmi, Nidid, Aftes, Amet, Beis. And there, Chachomim, Shal, Roifim, Veroifim, Amru, Maka, Yesh, Vemeyo, Shuri, Yesh, Vemeyo. We do not find the continuation that we find in Bavli and Yerushalmi. So I think this Yerushalmi would, Lachaoira, prove that the bedike tatil bepoishim, tatil bemayim, was the Chachomim's idea, not the doctor's idea. But nevertheless, what we see in it is, yes, doctor, Chachomim consulted doctors. Turei Zov, Kuf Tzadak Alef Yuridei, Sif Kodin Dalet, Kartim. Anybody that learned Hilchos Neder knows about Kartim. Turei Zov says, it's not Dam Nidus. The Chacham Tzoifo, the Chacham Tzvi, attacks the Prima Godim. And he says, his mater is a koreis. It's dam nida. And all the later achroinim justify the taz and reject the Chacham Tzvi. Reb Chaim Koyen Rapoport, who was a ben dori of the Chacham Tzvi, rejects him and he says, I consulted doctors and doctors said the taz is right. Shoyer HaMeshev 100 years later, we consulted doctors, they said taz is right. Kilei Zroim number 1, Pikuach Nefesh number 2, Hilchos Neder number 3. So I spoke about Reb Chaim and Yoredeya. How about Evin Ezer, Choshe Mishpot? Yes. Gittin Defayim Beis. Person gave a get, Im Meisi Mecholize. I want this get to be valid if I will die from this illness. So it depends. He died. We don't know from this illness or not. So that would validate or passel or invalidate the get. And how would we know why he died if we won't consult doctors? So the validity of a get depends on doctor's professional opinion. Choshe Mishpot. Oh, yes. Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Ches. Seif in Ezekin. Hilchos Roitzeach. And that's a Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. Ha'orig is a treifa potu. How do we know whether he's a treifa? The Rambam clearly says we consult the doctors. And the doctors need to give a chavis das, a learned opinion. The person that was killed, that was murdered, he had a certain illness. Is that curable or it's incurable? That would determine, was he a treif or not? And that would determine whether the person is chayiv mises beisdin. So we rely on professionals' opinion regarding dina nefoshes, regarding dovish ha-be'erva, regarding chilul Shabbos, regarding kilei zroim, regarding hilchos neder, which is a chashash koras. Yes. We must rely on authoritative medical scientific information. There's no other way. No other way to paskan in many areas of halacha. And Aloha also deals with the question when there's a contradiction, difference of opinions of doctors. What do we do? So Aloha bears in mind that there might be conflicting opinions between professionals, between doctors, between scientists. Tofrei Shud Chesiv Gimel Siv Dalad, Mishneh Berurah Siv Katan Yud. There are two defining factors to solve this dilemma. One is majority against minority. If more doctors feel this and some feel that, the majority always will override the minority. But the Mishneh Berurah being sources, it also depends who are the greater mumchim, who are more qualified. So if you have a world-known expert on one hand and a stagiaire, a resident on the other hand, we definitely would rely on the mumchim. So when we have different opinions between doctors, what decides is numbers and expertise. Is it legitimate that sometimes the Bonham question the opinions of professionals? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we find this. Shalosh Teshuvos Knesset Yecheskel Siman Tet Zayin. The Knesset Yecheskel was Reb Chesel Katzenelboim, one of the greatest Gedolim going back 300 years. And he deals with a strange psak based on a strange medical opinion. So the Beis Yosef in Or Chaim Shein Lamed Aleph already writes, in our day and age, there is no need to wash a child right after his bris in hot water. Doctors say there's no need, and therefore there is no justification to be mechal Shabbos to boil water. So a Rav, many years later, 200 years later, Paskin, but today, kilkalu avia, when there's a pandemic, an epidemic, we do need to wash a child after the bris in hot water. Knesset Yecheskel doubts that opinion, and he says, doctors are supposed to be familiar with medicine, but what would they know about kilkalu avia? And I think that Knesset Yecheskel was very wise, and he used his common sense, not medical expertise, to question the validity of that opinion. So yes, today, that would depend on scientists, not on doctors. So if you're a family doctor, or a dentist, or an oncologist, what would you know about kilkel huavir? 100 years transpired. Tshuvas Mama Mordechai, Reb Mordechai Ettinger, who was one of the gedolim of his time, who was a brother-in-law of the Shoyel HaMeshiv. And in his Tshuvas in Samach Zayin, he deals with a question which many gedolim dealt with. And a few months ago, I gave a share about, in this period of the pandemic, do we fast on Yom Kippur, do we fast on Tisha B'Av? And I made my opinion very clear. So the Mama Mordechai brings, yes, our doctors say, kilkelo avia, the air is bad, so even healthy people need to eat. And he quotes the Knesset Yecheskel, and he says, I doubt that is reasonable. But what is more important is his maskone, his psak, and he says, even though I have my doubts, my questions about this medical opinion, but we're dealing with pikuach nefesh, and therefore we need to be mekel. And my great uncle, the Yeshua Yankov, 40 years ago, the Mama Mordechai is Tuf Reish Lamed Gimel, and he writes, I remember I was a young man, and my great uncle Paskind, Tisha B'Av, there was another outbreak of cholera in those years, Tov Kuf Tzadik Aleph, and the psak was, everybody should eat. So it's legitimate sometimes to question medical opinions or professional data. A Rav, a qualified Rav, sometimes we do apply common sense, but even the Knesset Yecheskel writes, we need to consult greater mumchim. We cannot just decide on our own to reject the opinions of professionals, of scientists, of doctors. But sometimes you have this feeling, does it make sense? We need to consult greater doctors. So, we definitely rely on scientific data. So let's get back to the COVID vaccine. I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, but as I said before, I do understand a bit, and I do have some basic understanding and knowledge, and I also spoke with the greatest mumchim. So by halachic definition, the clear consensus of roiv minyan v'roiv binyan, the vast majority of professionals, researchers, and the best of the best feel very strongly that this is an amazing vaccine. And let me just share some basic information. The Tshuvas I quoted, Zera Emes, Teferes Yisrael, clearly right. Some people died from the vaccine. No people died from our present vaccine. the two leading companies, Pfizer and Moderna, between the both of them, their tests were based on approximately 80,000 people, roughly 50% getting the vaccine and 50% getting a placebo, which is nothing. And then they analyzed the two groups. From the 40,000, approximately, almost 40,000 that got the vaccine, two people died. From the other group, six people died. The two people that died were from unrelated reasons, one from a heart attack and the other from MS, from multiple sclerosis. And the doctor saw no connection between their demise and the vaccine. Naturally, same goes to the other group, because the other group didn't get the vaccine. The 40,000 that got the vaccine, eight people developed COVID. The other group, the other 40,162, and that is the conclusion of 95% effectiveness. Just make the arithmetic on your own. None of the people getting the vaccine developed severe symptoms. Many of them developed mild symptoms. So let me speak 10 seconds about symptoms. People are terrified when they develop symptoms. But those symptoms are not a result of the vaccine, not a result of the virus. They're a result of the immune system kicking in and effectively fighting this protein that was injected into your system. That is what causes the mild fever, the headache, some chulsha. So it's just a sign that it's working. I do not mean to say if you don't have those mild systems, it's not working. No. It doesn't prove that it's not working. But when you develop those systems, there's no reason for concern, because those systems are not, those symptoms are not symptoms of COVID. They are caused by the immune system fighting back. So we could say in all authority, the reason this vaccine was developed in record speed is not that the process was compromised. Definitely not. I teach Torah. I don't feel comfortable teaching biology. I would be able to take 15 minutes now and explain why we were successful in developing this vaccine in record speed. I could also explain why the risk, the long-term risk from this vaccine is totally without any reasonable chashash. It is a lesser danger than other vaccines because it's a different technology. And this messenger RNA is a far safer vaccine than other vaccines that we use every day and we've used for many years. We actually do not expose the body to COVID. That is the chiddush in this new technology. We replicate a protein that is usually caused by COVID without injecting COVID into the body. And this protein has a very short lifespan, so the reasonability that it'll affect your DNA or your systems is so, so remote and unreasonable. So I could say with all responsibility, and it's not me, I'm just quoting scientific data. What I have to offer is halachic analysis, which I did, but I could say in all responsibility, there is no real substantial risk in taking the virus. Consult your doctor. You might have anaphylaxis, and that is an anaphylactic allergic shock. But very few people have that, and those that have it know that they have it. And that is the reason when you get the vaccine, they will keep you in the clinic for 20 minutes to a half hour just to make sure that you're not one of those very, very few that might develop an allergic shock. But those that have that tendency are aware, because it is caused by other vaccines, even antibiotics, and therefore no reason to be worried. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, when my term comes, I do intend and plan to take this vaccine. We owe it to ourselves, we owe it to our families, we owe it to the elders of our communities. And it is probably the only way to finally overcome this terrible pandemic. So whenever we judge or need to decide taking a new medicine, we always weigh benefit against risks. The risk is minimal shebe minimal, mi'ut de mi'ut, totally not significant. And why are we taking this vaccine? I am so troubled and so disturbed by what's happening in our society. I think many months ago, between Purim and Pesach and after Pesach, this pandemic brought out the best in us. We all had this feeling of Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh V'Zeh. And wherever and whenever tragedy struck, we all knew about it. We knew the names, we knew the families, we cared, we davened, we offered to help as much as we can. It's a different world now, and I think now it's bringing out the worst in us. Machloikis, sinas chinam. My dear friends, people are still dying every day, dying from COVID. I am so unhappy that whatever I foresaw in the past few months happened. Loi Navi ani, veloi ben Navi. But sometimes Chocham Odef Menavi. I said just a month ago, when everybody thought, finally it's over. And I said that Rabbi Yisrael, I wish it would be over. But if we're not careful, it's going to come back. And in Israel, it's coming back. A month ago in Shaarei Tzedek, we had 20 patients, and now we have more than 50. A month ago, we had 2 people on respirators. And I'm not updated till today, but a day before yesterday, we had 10 or 11, 5 times as much. And that is only Shaarei Tzedek. And the same is happening everywhere. The numbers are going up. Baruch Hashem, not at the same level we were 6 months ago, but the numbers are ticking up, and it's very disturbing. What is more important? People are dying every day. So in Eretz Yisrael, since the beginning of the pandemic, more than 3,000 people died. And I just want to give you the right perspective. We all know the pain and terrible agony of automobile accidents. How many people died in Israel in this year from the beginning of January? And I speak about the Goyish year because that is where the data comes from. We're approaching the end of December, the end of the year. How many people died from automobile accidents? You'll be surprised. 287. And that's a horrific number. And the government invests billions of dollars to prevent those 287 deaths. In infrastructure, in roads, in better safety features in automobiles. COVID is 2 months younger. COVID started March. And almost 12 times as many people died from COVID than from automobile accidents. More than 10 times. More than 3,020 people died from COVID compared to 287 from automobile accidents. People are dying every day. Just a few days ago, Etzan Zechose died, a person I knew very well. He used to come to my shiurim sometimes, 70 years old. Some of the most important people and well-known names that died recently died from COVID, and the family doesn't want that information getting out. And I respect the feelings of families. It has become somewhat of an embarrassment to die from corona. Don't know why. But people are dying. And those that Baruch Hashem didn't die, but thousands upon thousands are suffering, and some will be handicapped for the rest of their lives. So all these absurd theories that the vaccine might cause infertility and it might have long-term effects, One cannot say with certainty there will be no long-term effects, because how would we know? But that is true with every new medicine. Every new medicine or medical procedure might have long-term effects, but we always try to strike the right balance between what is needed now and what might theoretically happen in the future. As I explained before, it's very unreasonable that the COVID vaccine will have long-term effects, but what's happening now? There is advanced research proving that COVID affects your pulmonary system, your cardiac system, your cognitive system. It might affect the reproductive system, the male fertility. So when we deal with the question to take the vaccine, yes, definitely yes. People are dying, people are suffering, and we could alleviate this pain and diminish the suffering and save many people. This is a safe vaccine in as far as we could know. And that is the opinion of Roiv Minyan V'Roiv Binyan of Chachmei Ha'umis. I wrote a letter many months ago before COVID regarding the other vaccines to one of the Gedolim, and I argued, even if the anti-vaxxers would have some merit, but if this is the opinion of the establishment of Roiv Minyan and Roiv Binyan, we could rely on Shomer Pesoim Hashem. What is a person supposed to do if not follow the Mumchim? It is what Chazal did in the entirety of Torah. Kilei Zroim, Dinei Nefoshes, Even Ha'Ezer, Pikuach Nefesh, Shelches Neder. There were always doctors that had different opinions, but if that is the opinion of the establishment, Shomer Pesoim Hashem. So my eitz and my opinion is yes, vaccinate. And I say this in the clearest of ways. Shomer Pesoim Hashem. Shekodesh Baruch Hu Yishmor V'Yatzil. But I do want to end this year with just stressing my feeling and my pain. As I said, at the beginning of this pandemic, we cared. And now what we have is machloikis and sinas chinam, and people are dying and nobody seems to care. It's no longer in the news. It's no longer an item. People are dying and everybody says, Shalom olai nafshi. I don't care. I just can't understand. It's beyond me. People coming to a levaya of a person that died from COVID, 50 years old, 60 years old, and hundreds of people massed together without masks. Where's the family? Your father died from corona. And you're just causing more of the same. We no longer care. So Hasidim tell the story of Reb Moshe Leib Sasseva, the great tzaddik. Reb Moshe Leib Sasseva is a Talmud of Reb Shmuel Kalem Nikolsburg and the Neumani Melech. And he said, the essence of V'ahavta l'rachu kamoichu, I learned from a Gentile and non-Jew. What did I see? So before telling the story, I feel I owe the tzibur an apology, somewhat of an apology. How could a great tzaddik, Talmid Talmidav shel Baal Shem Tov, a Talmid of Rebbe Lemelech Manezhensky, Rebbe Shmuel Kalem Nikolsburg, himself one of the greatest tzaddikim, is it legitimate to learn from a goy? Well, that is the Torah of Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov taught us, Hashgacha brought us to its extreme. Everything you see, everything you hear, everything you witness, everything you experience comes to teach you. Everything comes to teach you. If I saw something, witnessed something, heard, experienced, what do I need to learn from this experience? So the Baal Shem Tov offered a new pshat, Eizeh Chochem Aloimid Mekol Odom. When you see another person, what he's doing, what transpires with him, it should be like a mirror. You're seeing yourself. We look into the mirror, we see ourselves. A little child, an infant, a baby, first time he sees a mirror and he sees a baby and he reaches out trying to touch him. He's not aware that that's him. The Baal Shem Tov said, don't be a baby. You see a person. That's you that you're seeing. It's a mirror. It comes to teach you. What happens with him and why is it min hashamayim that I should see and I should witness? Everything we experience comes to teach us. So based on the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, it should be no wonder the story that Reb Moshe Leib Sassover related. So the tzaddik said, I was walking on the street and I hear two non-Jews conversing. And Mr. A asks Mr. B, do you love me? And Mr. B responds and he's amazed. He says, how do you dare to ask this question? Of course I love you. We've been the best of friends for 20 years. So Mr. A asks Mr. B, what hurts me? Mr. B is taken aback and he said, how would I know? You didn't tell me. Mr. A asks, do you really want to know? Did you ask? Did you ask? Do you really want to know? How do you dare to say you love me if you don't even know what hurts me? That's a question, which is, ad umke de tohoi morabo, ad imki enefesh, how do you dare to say you love me if you don't even know what hurts me? You didn't tell me. Did you ask? Did you inquire? Do you really want to know? That's it's very easy for a person to fool himself, and it's even easier to fool others, but you can't fool a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's very easy for a person. I love everyone. I love every Jew. Do you know what hurts them? And if you don't dare to say you love another person if you don't even care about his pain. So what Reb Moshe Leib Sassover learned from that Gentile in that incident, I learned from Tosfos HaMenuchos Lamed Zayin Yerushalmi Perek Tes of Masechet Nedarim. What's there? Menuchos Lamed Zayin Tosfos brings Iso BeMedrash. I don't know where the Medrash is, but I totally rely on Tosfos. Nemonim Olai Divrayim. Ashmedai had his dealings with Shlomo HaMelech, as we learn at great length in Masechet Gittin and Bavli. Ashmadei hoitzi metachas lepnei ayam, person that had two heads. Some kind of Siamese twin, one body, two heads. He married him to a woman that had one head. The marvels of genetics. They had two boys. One was a double-headed boy, and his brother had one head. One had the genetic code of the father, the other of the mother. And then the father dies, and Ashmedai brings the din Torah to Shlomo HaMelech. The two-headed one says, I am two, and I deserve two parts of the Yerusha. His one-headed brother says, no, I don't care how many heads you have. We are two brothers, and we split 50-50. What does Shlomo HaMelech do? He wraps one head in towels. He should see nothing. He takes a pot of boiling water, spills it on the other head. Both heads shriek and cry out of pain. Shlomo Paskins, this is one, not two. What was his test? Well, they have one set of limbs, two arms, two legs, seem to have one body. That is not the determining factor. The decisive factor is pain. If we pour boiling water over one head, does the other head feel the pain? If he does, they're one. If he wouldn't scream out, they're two. So what does that have to do with V'ahavta l'rayachu kamaycha? Yerushalmi Perek Tes Nedarim. I think it's Daf Lamed in Nedarim. The Yerushalmi gives a marshal about V'ahavta l'rayachu kamaycha. Person has a hammer in one hand, hacking away at meat, and the hammer in his right hand wounds the finger of his left hand. Asks the Yerushalmi, will the left hand now take the hammer and hurt the right hand? Shoyte shebiyoylam. Your left hand is bleeding and hurting, so what do you want? Your other hand should bleed as well. So Reuven and Shimon are like two hands of the very same body. In this week's pasuk, we have the pasuk, Kulanu bnei ish echod nachnu, we are one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be one. Reuven and Shimon, Mr. Aleph and Mr. Beis, are the right hand and the left hand. So as long as one hand feels the pain of the other, one head feels the pain of the other, that is the essence of Yahavtu L'Reichu Kamecha. So what Rav Moshe Leib Sasseva learned from that incidental encounter, which wasn't incidental at all, but divine providence and Hashgacha Pratis, what he learned from the Goy, I would learn from Tosfos Menachas Lamed Zayin and Yerushalmi Nedorim Daf Lamed. So my dear friends, we need to once again listen and hear and feel. Do we care? Do we know? 6, 7, 8 months ago, we knew the names. Every day, we knew the names. When was the last time we really paid any interest? Who died? Who was suffering? Do we care? We should. And we should do everything in our power to prevent and alleviate and diminish this awful pain and suffering. People are dying. People are falling ill. People are suffering. So it is my clear and firm opinion, we should vaccinate. And I personally intend to do so. So Kodesh Baruch Hu Yimenam Gei Fom Enach Loseinu, Kodesh Baruch Hu Shesan Derefu Shalem El Kol Choyle Yam Yisrael, we should know no more pain and no more suffering, not from COVID and not from anything else. And Kodesh Baruch Hu Yeracham Oleinu Yishlach Lono, Moshiach Tzidkeinu Bemheiru V'yomeinu Amen.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.